definition of ownership for me is not making any excuses. I owned up to it. You know, if I have a scheduled call with Justin at 2 o'clock, I better be on that call, or I better be missing a limb or something drastic to happen. So I better get on that call. And that's for me is not making excuses. And I think the ownership, I think we have core values, and one of our core values is growth mindset. I think ownership, you got to continually be growing, continually be learning, because everything is changing around you and you want to evolve.
This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm your host, Justin Rothling-Schofer. And if you're watching on YouTube and you're looking over my shoulder, you're going to notice that is not your typical background. And that's because I'm in Iowa, just finished up a keynote series to another Vistage group, which has just been so amazing. And just to really be able to see the impacts of what a life in ownership and living life by design can truly do for you, and opening people's eyes to that, because we're surrounded by people who are doing such amazing things in business, doing such amazing things in service of others. But how are we actually servicing ourselves? How are we making sure that we have everything in a line that we can do to make sure that this can happen? And if you guys are new here, go check out the other 200 plus episodes that we've done over the past 2 years. And because there's so much value there, from the guests we've brought on to the solo podcast that I've done, to be able to infiltrate your life in a multitude of ways. And be sure to leave a review, subscribe, share it with somebody, because that's the only way that we grow, the only way that we can reach people so that they can reach their true potential just like you have. So as we dive in today, I was actually on Gino and his wife's podcast not a few weeks ago. And it was really awesome just to be able to get to know him and understand what he's doing. But this is also a guy that's experiencing what life in ownership looks like. He understands that he's on that journey himself. And he's been able to do some really unique things in his life because of who he is, how he shows up, how he operates, and the relationships that he's built. And so I wanted to bring him on today because not only is he an expert in his space, but he's also quite honestly the epitome of what you would want in somebody who's living a life in ownership. And so, Gino, it is a pleasure to have you on. If you guys haven't checked out his podcast yet, the Jake and Gino Show, it's incredible the information that they are able to put out when it comes to real estate investing and multifamily, and just they've cracked a code that I think a lot of people are searching for, and definitely someplace you want to be going. So guys, without further ado, I want to introduce you to Gino. Thank you so much for spending time with me.
Thanks, Justin. I'm still trying to crack the code. That code is very hard to crack online with all the different social media. But listen, it's a pleasure to be here. And your listeners may be saying, what's this real estate guy doing? What the heck would he know about living a life of intention? I wasn't always a real estate guy. I owned a restaurant for years and years and years, stuck up in New York. And when I realized back in 2008 that that wasn't my dream, I think it was my dad's dream, that really lit a fire under my ass. I read the book, T. Harv Eker's book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, and that changed everything for me. So I hope as your listeners listen to this, I hope they find that epiphany, that aha moment that we all need to say, hey, what's going to light a fire under me and say, I'm living this life and it's happening to me. And Justin, the irony is I partnered up with a gentleman about 2 years ago. He owned a company called the 100-Year Brand. So we started the 100-Year Real Estate Investor, which is such a great, I guess, topic for this conversation, because you're talking about long-term mindset. The 100-Year Brand, really, he came about it from thinking about cathedral thinking. When they used to build cathedrals back in the Middle Ages, it didn't take 10 or 20 years to build a cathedral, to build a church. It would take hundreds of years and years and years of planning. And I think that's what most of us in our lives, we don't do. We don't plan our lives. It just happens to us. And I want everyone to adopt that 100-year mindset, because what me and Justin are doing today are going to affect our parents, our children, and our grandkids. That's how the 100-year mindset's all about. That's what the responsibility is all about. That's what long-termism is all about. And I've seen tons of people who are, you know, are really successful and ones that aren't. And the ones that are truly successful are the ones that adopt the responsibility mindset and that long-termism mindset.
It's such a great point. Because when you talk about that long-term mindset, it's I almost talk about it as trading what you want now for what you want most. And when you can think about the this instant gratification and this time of instant gratification and the lack of patience and not being willing to stay in something and put in the hard work, put in the effort, kind of eat crap for a little while sometimes is kind of what they talk about, so that you can do what you truly want to do, what your goals are, is it's because we're off purpose. And I wanted to attach back to what you were talked about before, because it was, I think some people might have missed this, because you said it was one of the first things that you said, and I think people could have taken it very nonchalantly, but you were living somebody else's dream. You were doing something because you thought you had to, or because that's what you felt like you were just, it was just placed in your lap, and it's what you needed to make somebody proud of you or whatever it might be. And by doing something that you're not meant to do, by doing something that you're not called to do, by doing something that's living somebody else's dream, that's ultimately going to cause you to not have the staying power, the willpower, the longevity to make the decisions for what you want most, because you want to collapse time. You're not patient to do what's willing or what's needed to get you to what you want most, and rather what you want now. And so I want to go back to that. What did you do, or what was your process that took you from doing what you were told you were supposed to do to what you were meant to do?
When my dad passed away in 2007, I had been working with him since I was a little kid. I actually liked working at the restaurant. I liked what I was doing. I was just caught up in this dream that I thought, as an entrepreneur, we need to maximize our balance sheet. We need to maximize our money. So I was always equating success with money. That's how you're brought up as an immigrant, you know, son of two immigrants from Italy. And that's how I was brought up. And when he passed away, the Great Recession came and things started shifting. And I'm like, you know, at the time I had four kids, I have six kids now. So I was worrying about paying the bills. That was my first and foremost. I wasn't worrying about what was going to make Gino happy. I was worrying about how can I put food on the table? And things started happening. I met my partner, Jake, in 2009. I started going out and getting mentorships and learning about real estate and saying, I can't focus on one stream of revenue. I need to start building my life up here. I need to start building more streams of revenue. In 2011, we had a pretty devastating fire at the restaurant. We were closed for 9 weeks. And that really made me, you know, go back to thinking and saying, here, there's risk. Everyone's saying, oh, well, you've got a great little business, or you've got a W-2 job. How many of you out there feel like that? And you feel like there's security. Well, that security was gone after that fire. I got like I said, it lit a fire under my ass. Literally, after that happened, I'm like, okay, Jake, you're moving down to Knoxville. Let's start working on this. My midlife crisis is I really want to create impact. I really want to become financially free, whatever that looks like. And that's when it started. And I just recently, within the last week, read a book called The Illusion of Money. And I really highly recommend it to a lot of you listening to it, because, you know, the author, Kyle, is talking about this money, how we equate money with security, and how a lot of us have that money and make money hold us back from what our true purpose is, what our true calling is. And I really experienced this, because when I was chasing money, the money was hard to find. It was hard to follow. It was hard for me to attract it. But once I became financially free and I created Jake and Gino and we started buying more properties and the opportunities started coming, I wasn't focusing on money. Money is just the result, for anybody who doesn't really know that. The better you are, the more money you're going to make. And if you can focus on your true passion and you can focus on your true calling, I will guarantee you the opportunities are going to come out there. You're going to be attracting those opportunities. I couldn't attract the opportunities in the restaurant because I was in the kitchen washing dishes, hiding from everybody. Once I came out from the shadows and I started living my true purpose, and I'm still trying to figure out what that is, but I think it is Jake and Gina. I think it is real estate. And those are the opportunities that are showing up in my life. I'm going to challenge everybody listening to this. Are you hiding in the kitchen? Are you washing those dishes? Are you not really seeking your true purpose? And are you looking at money as the security? Because money is not a security. It's just a result. If you go out there and you work just for money, it's not going to make you any happier. The true happiness comes when you're out there trying to fulfill your soul purpose. And once you create that soul purpose, you go to work excited every day. Take a look where Justin is. He is in a conference center. He doesn't need to be doing this right now, but I know he enjoys doing the podcast. I know he enjoys creating success stories and listening to other people doing it. So he's living his soul purpose. And he understands the more this I do, the more opportunities will come my way and the happier my day will be.
Gino, as you kind of talk about this concept of soul purpose, I think people see that or hear that and it becomes very daunting very quickly. It's like, well, if like my soul's purpose. Like, what was I put on this earth for? What is my why? I always say Simon Sinek ruined it for everybody with, what is your why? Like, figure it out. Tell me, what is your why? If you don't know what your why is, you shouldn't be doing anything. But if for somebody who's listening to this, and obviously a lot of you guys listening to this, you're entrepreneurs, you're executives, you're already business owners, living what you've thought maybe for a long time is your dream job, or what it is that you started the business that you wanted to, but maybe 5, 6, 7, 20 years later, you're like, is this still what my life's purpose is? And you feel like you're maybe so deep in it, or you feel like you're, you've committed so much to this that you can't move, you can't shift, you can't adjust. What would you say to those people that are listening that have kind of just experienced that or are going through that? And it's like, yeah, what do I do?
That's a very personal question. I mean, for everybody, you really need to look at what brings joy in your life. I hate editing podcasts. I really hate doing accounting and bookkeeping. So I try to delegate those and get rid of those tasks. That's not my sole purpose. I think for me, early on, I figured out that I really like to help people and I loved coaching. I got into life coaching and that was a lot of fun for me. I'd never experienced that. So I found out that I really wanted to create impact for others. I wanted to create this community of Jake and Gino students that we could get together. We could teach them about real estate, although it really not isn't about real estate. It's really more about community and how to grow your wealth. So for those of you listening out there, it's a hard question because most of us don't sit around and ask that question or even really heard the concept. I heard about it from Garrett Gunderson. Garrett Gunderson's an individual who's a wealth coach and he's written a couple books. The last book that he wrote was What Would Billionaires Do? But he wrote a book about killing sacred cows and about investing. And his whole premise was that sole purpose, but living in abundance versus scarcity mindset. And that really changed my life. When I was living in the scarcity mindset, is like, it's about me. The pie is finite. But when I started living the abundance mindset, all of a sudden, hey, I could invest in real estate. I could start multiple businesses. I didn't have to own them all. I could actually go out there and find partners and share in the wealth, because the wealth is not finite. It's infinite. And for those of you out there that really are doubting what I'm saying, take a look how much money is in this economy. They just printed $6 trillion in the last year and a half or 2 years. So there's maybe you or I don't have the money, but there is money out there. Just how do you figure out and attracting it? And that abundance versus scarcity. One last thing I'll say about that is when you're out there and you're living the scarcity mindset and you're saving money and you're ready to retire, that scarcity mindset will say to yourself, I can't touch that money because, you know, I need it for a rainy day. So just check yourself, what your thoughts are. And for me, finding my sole purpose, it's a daily grind because some days are really challenging. I'm like, why am I doing this Jake and Gino thing? I got people telling me I'm a criminal. They're telling me that, hey, why are you putting on this content? Why are you charging so much for your programs? And then there are days that I get emails from students that are going, thanks, you just changed my life. So you have to understand why you're doing something, because there are going to be tough days that challenge you. So go out there and think about it daily. Why are you put here? And for us as entrepreneurs, we always equate our self-worth to our business. You are not your business. You have to separate that from yourself. I am not Jake and Gino. I'm a dad who's got 6 kids, an amazing wife, and I've built a great business. And, you know, me and my wife tend to put God as first. So that's what we're trying to emulate. We're trying to get our kids to heaven. That's my biggest and most important job. That's for me. So everything I do, all the actions that I take really hinge upon that, whether it's going into business, whether it's teaching my children, whether it's onboarding students. I always had that as my first thought. And I'm always trying to emulate that and trying to create impact for others.
It's really beautiful, kind of what you just said, because I think oftentimes there's really 3 points I want to touch on here. First I'll go to is, when you do something that's on purpose, you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to make everybody happy. It's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. People are going to be jealous. People are going to be frustrated. People are going to be angry. People are going to not see it for what it actually is. And there are going to be tough days that challenge you. I can't tell you how many times the same thing that people will go and make crappy comments on social posts or crappy comments on videos that go out, or I'll get off of an angry phone call with somebody. And if you guys listened to our guest from last week, he really just sat and spoke about how you can choose to live in kindness. You can choose to live in love. You can choose to live in gratitude. And when you do that, it's amazing what happens to not only the person you're speaking to, but also in your own thought processes. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to what Gino's talking about is, how are you thinking? What are you thinking about? What are you doing in this space? And knowing that what God's called you to do, what you're leaning into and what you're moving towards, if you're obedient to that, you will always be rewarded. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it will be rewarding along that way. And I love the discussion of abundance versus scarcity mindset, because forever, for a long time, I was the scarcity mindset guy, where what did I do? How much money do I have? Do I have enough to get by? And I was sitting with, I don't know if you guys know Rich Wilkerson, but he's a pastor of VU Church. If you don't follow Rich on social media, definitely go follow him. He's an unbelievable wealth of knowledge and an inspiration to many. But he sat here and he talked about, he goes, how amazing is it that we sit here and we say, do I have enough money to feed my family? Do I have enough money to live in this home? Do I have enough money to purchase this car? Where in actuality, if we actually go back to what we're called to do, we're called to be a collective, called to be together. Yes, financial wealth is necessary to look after the whole. Mm-hmm. But we're called to use money as a vehicle to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just love that comment of what you said is, there is never a shortage. It's just, are you resourceful enough and are you leaning into your calling? Because if you're doing that, it will come in great abundance, because that's a promise that each one of us has, but it requires obedience to get there.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
As you kind of tell your story, Gino, and you kind of lean into this concept of you are not your business, talk us a little bit through all of these pivot points that you've had along your journey that have ultimately brought you to where you are today. And I think just speaking to people in helping them to know that you can reinvent yourself. You can reinvent yourself once, you can reinvent yourself 50 times. It doesn't matter. It just depends on whether you're willing to be obedient or not.
Mm-hmm. I think what we should all do is we should all reflect upon our lives. And I think every time I've had a big problem pop up in my life, I look back and there's always opportunities that come from that problem. And I think those of us that are successful, we have the same cards that are dealt. It's how we play that hand. And, you know, for instance, that fire, I could have packed it in and said, you know what, I'm done. But I ended up going out. I ended up partnering with Jake. Then what ended up happening, about a year and a half after that, I ended up getting by the state of New York. They ended up going out and they ended up not finding us, but they did an audit. And I was fearful at the time. I'm like, what am I going to do? I went to my priest for confession, and I thought I was going to sit there and I thought I was going to, you know, have a little sob story and let him know what's going on and maybe get some advice from him and say, hey, Gino, it'll be okay. I mean, the total opposite occurred. He started sort of like, I wouldn't say yelling at me, but a little tough, going, Gino, what's wrong with you? These aren't problems. We've all got these problems. I've got 5,000 parishioners here. They're driving me nuts. So instead of me being consoled, it seems as if I had to console him. I'm like, dude. And I just said, that's probably God sending me a message of saying, it'll be okay. You'll figure it out. And I think the thing that's been most fortunate for me is I've had some great partnerships. My wife is amazing. She's helped me through all along. She's always been by my side. She's always believed in me. And the same token, you might've heard us saying this, that I've worked extremely hard. I'm not going to let her down. If somebody gives you that kind of confidence, I can't let her down. I've had an amazing partnership with my partner, Jake, from the very beginning. We've been at each other's side for the last 15 years, working extremely hard, not letting that person down. So I don't even remember what the answer to the question was, but I think really having those relationships has really helped me out over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years for myself, because you can't do it alone. And that's what the scarcity mindset wants you to do. They want you to go alone because you need to be the smartest person. You know, check your ego at the door, become a constant learner, never think of yourself as an expert, because there's always so much more to learn, and be humble. You know, you were talking about gratitude. If you can humble yourself and be the last person to speak and let everyone else talk, that's really what leaders Well, that's what we're supposed to do. When we're younger, we always want to be heard. But as we get older, we talk less and we take in, you know, more advice from a lot of our team members. And that's how I think we can grow. So I think partnerships, you know, learning to become a better leader, becoming a great coach, being able to ask great questions, that's really what's helped me out over the last 10 to 15 years.
I love it. I love it. My wife sent this to me ironically, but she sent me a little picture and it says, a man's success has a lot to do with the woman he chooses to have in his life. And
vice versa.
Totally. And vice versa. And I just think it's so true, is the decisions that we make about who to build relationships with, not just with our immediate spouses, but with our business, our business partners, our, yes. Our close family, our close friends, people we engage with, people we have in our ecosystem, people we take influence from. All of those things have such a lasting effect on what we become and what we do. And I think we oftentimes take those for granted, and we don't put a lot of intentionality towards it. And the people that serve us and love us the most are the people we engage with the least. Whereas we think if there's something a little bit more transactional, we put a little bit more effort into it, but yet there's no substance there. And I know we've had some very dear close friends to us over the last little bit, and they've had some business partners that really caused them a lot of problems, and it cost them a lot of money. But yet when they look at the people around them, they hadn't invested in the right relationships. And so that's really available to us, I think, in a big, big way. And I'm sure that you've had that along the way as well.
Yeah, let me interject real quick. What you said is so important, because when you're selecting partners, I would have everyone, you know, think of these words, and this is important. Your dear friends also selected the wrong partners, so they need to be responsible. What I would have everyone do is create your own values, and you pick your partners based on what your values are. It's called values-based decision making. It sounds really simple, but if we really did that and we really chose our partners based on our values, and long-termism is one of them. If your partner's in for a quick buck and you're in it for the long haul, that is not going to work. If I want to buy a 50-unit apartment complex and hold it for the next 15 years, but Justin's here, hey, we can make a quick buck, let's sell in 2 years. That's not going to work. That is not going to work. And, you know, one thing about the relationships, I saw a post online like an hour ago about, hey, if you want to divorce somebody, go ahead and divorce somebody. That's the short-term mindset. The long-term mindset is we're committed. We're in a relationship. There are going to be some tough days. I mean, I can be a prick. My wife really should be able to smack me. But after every argument, there's threat of divorce and not working on it long-term, then of course it's going to pop up. But for me, it's not even a thought in my mind. It doesn't even pop into my mind, because I'm committed to this person. I'm in it for the long term. So understanding those values, and maybe that's one of the values that the listeners can adopt, is long-termism and responsibility. And a lot of problems will actually go away. And even when you do choose a bad partner, I chose bad partners 4 years ago on a deal down here. We were supposed to be building vacation rentals. The two partners were horrible. But guess what? I selected them. Did Gino get on weekly calls with them? Did Gino do his due diligence? No. Gino said, hey, this is a great idea, let's jump into it. I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't check my values versus their values. Now, the story is a little bit deeper, but ultimately I bore full responsibility. Even though they were morons, I still took the responsibility. I said, hey, it's on us. How do we split this apart amicably? So if you're going to get into a relationship with somebody, especially a business relationship, make sure your values align, make sure your goals align, make sure your visions align, and make sure your partner's in it for the long haul, and that partner is willing to work very hard, because business is not easy. I'm on this podcast right now. Jake is out there doing an inspection right now. So we divide and conquer. That's what partnerships allow you to do. And that's what makes a successful partnership to me, is having those values and those goals aligned.
I love that. I love that. Gino, for somebody who lives so much in the space of ownership, who embodies it in all ways, shapes, and forms within your life, what would you say the definition of ownership is for you?
That's a great question. The definition of ownership for me is not making any excuses. Mm-hmm. I owned up to it. You know, if I have a scheduled call with Justin at 2 o'clock, I better be on that call, or I better be missing a limb or something drastic will happen. So I better get on that call. And that's for me is not making excuses. And I think the ownership, I think we have core values, and one of our core values is growth mindset. I think ownership, you got to continually be growing, continually be learning, because everything is changing around you and you want to evolve. Because the person that I was 5 years ago is completely different than the person I am today. And hopefully 5 years from now, I can look back at this person and say, I can't believe I thought that. What was I thinking 5 years ago? And there's nothing wrong with it because I know what I know right now. But 5 years from now, I hope I know a lot more. And I hope all the listeners feel the same way. That to me is ownership, not making excuses, being completely responsible for all of the decisions I make and having true ownership of those decisions.
That's great. I really like that. It's not making excuses and truly leaning into what it is that you value. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you? Where can people interact with you if they're wanting to know more about the multifamily, if they're wanting to really kind of lean in and just get exposed to you, your content, your businesses, and just understand more about you outside of the Jake and Gino show, which I told you guys to really look at earlier on, because again, I think there's just a wealth of knowledge in how the information is put together, made easy and understandable.
I would just two places. Just go to jakeandgino.com. We have our blogs, we have our podcasts, we have all the different materials we have on there. If not, just go to YouTube and go to Jake and Gino, and you'll see a lot of the videos we have on there. We have a podcast with the wife. You've been on our podcast. It's the Julie and Gino show. It's a show where I get to make fun of my wife for like 30 minutes. It's like so therapeutic for me. It's like that's my calling. I get to be on a show with her every 2 weeks. And it's just so much fun because most people get on there. We're like, we're going to talk numbers. We're going to talk business. And then we're just having fun. We want people to see how much fun it can be working with your spouse, because we had those struggles and those challenges. So the Julie and Gino show is there. We have a how-to on the YouTube channel. We have the Jake and Gino show. And then we have the 100-year real estate investor podcast, which I love it because it's all about long-termism. We interview some amazing guests on there talking about their businesses, talking about how they've been able to scale, what decisions they made that allowed them to create long-term thinking. So just go on jakeandgino.com and you'll find all the information there.
I love it. Guys, as you go forward, we often sit here and we think, hey, what pain am I in now? What struggle am I going through now? How can I get out of this as fast as possible? But if you stay in it, if you ask yourself, what do I want most versus what do I want now? And is it worth it? And the answer is yes, there is no choice. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about this long-term mindset, this long-termism that Gino has been speaking about. And when we can understand that there are going to be tough days, there are going to be difficult times, there are going to be peaks and valleys in this journey. But if you're able to live in that ownership space, if you're able to live in this understanding of what you're going for, then it's going to be worth it at the end, because we know success is different. So own your different. And we'll see you guys next week.